Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul has written to the Ephesians. We come to this little section in which he addresses the children. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." The great Apostle Paul, there writing, considers the children in the congregation, admonishes the children in the congregation. We saw last week first to obey their parents and then to honor their parents. In the pulpit commentary, he writes, "When the children's morsel is brought out, it is perhaps not quite what they expected. It is not a sugared morsel, nor is it particularly affectionate in its terms. It is not a nice little story or a poetical allegory carrying them to the realms of dreamland. It is just a simple practical requirement. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother." He writes to the children as responsible, moral beings. Beings who will be held accountable before the Almighty God. So that when he writes to the children, he writes no different than when he writes to the adults. And that's what you need to understand, children, is that you are responsible before God for your behavior, for your relationship to God, for your relationship to your parents as well. Because you are young, does it follow that your life before God is not important? No. The life that you have is a gift from God. You were created not only by God, as we're going to look at tonight, and we look at Christ our Creator. You are not only created by Christ, but you were created for Christ as well. And you are to glorify Him in your body and in your spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, turn there for a moment. Paul writing to Timothy. He says in verse 3 of chapter 1, "I thank God, whom I have served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the sincere faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you as well." Paul was delighted to see a sincere faith in this young man, Timothy. Can children know the living Christ? Can they follow and serve the living Christ? Indeed, they can. That is why we instruct our children. Not because we don't believe God will ever do this, but because we believe God shall regenerate them. He shall save them by His grace and His power. And so we ask God to do this. And children, what is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that sincere faith dwell in you? How is it with your hearts? How is it with your souls before the Lord? What is your relationship to Jesus Christ? Paul prayed for this young man, Timothy, and he was delighted to see that he not only knew his grandmother knew the Lord and his mother knew the Lord, but he knew the Lord as well. With this sincere faith. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. When he speaks to Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." And we can say that to many of you who are here present today, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Maybe not all of you, Maybe some of your parents were converted at a later date. Many of them were not. Many of them were converted by the time you were born. You were a little child. And as from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have heard the Scriptures read in the assembly of the saints. You have heard the Scriptures read by your father and your mother. They have explained the Scriptures to you. He says that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. They are able. They are powerful. They are the effectual power of God. They are the voice of Christ. Have they made you wise unto salvation? Or are you still foolishly dwelling in the mire and muck of sin and selfishness and self-centeredness? And all taken up with yourself rather than being all taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the question that's set before you this day. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, powerful, to make thee wise unto salvation. How? Through faith that is in Christ Jesus. What is your hope this morning, young people? What is your trust this morning? What do you trust in? How is it with your soul? Is your soul okay with God? If you were to die today, even as that young man, Buddy, who is only 16 years old, who is in what we would call a freak hunting accident, who now hangs between life and death, and we do not know whether he will survive it or not, he has no opportunity to come to the service this morning in the Lord's house. He will not hear the gospel preached this morning from a pulpit. How is it with your soul? How is it between you and the Lord Jesus Christ if you had to meet him tonight? That's the question. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How? Through faith. What is your hope? Is your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Or as I asked the little children this morning in our class, the little tiny ones, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is a real person? Or do you think he is just a myth, just a story, that these are just stories out of a book like a little storybook? Or is he God of very gods, begotten, not created, sent by the Father in the fullness of time to redeem his people? The question is not just for adults. I don't expend the wind on Sunday morning just for adults. It's for children too. It's for all of you. All of the Word of God is for all of you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I can say that as a young man, when God dealt with me, and when God began to truly awaken me to my own sin, my need of Christ, and casting myself upon Him, I can say that this verse, after I had cast myself on the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse was very encouraging to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in your behavior, in your love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." He speaks this to a young man. And it can be spoken to every young person here this morning. Let no man despise your youth. Why do men despise youth? Men despise youth because usually youth are immature and foolish and oftentimes impure and unfaithful and irresponsible. But he writes to Timothy and says, let no one despise your youth. But be an example, he says. Be an example to the believers. You think because you're young that you can't be helpful in the church? You think you can't edify others? It's not true. It's not true. A young person of a young age can be an example and a rebuke sometimes to someone who is much older than themselves, by their devotion to Jesus Christ, by their faith in Jesus Christ, by the purity of their lives. And that's what God calls you to. He calls you this morning to that. that no man would despise your youth, but you would be an example to the believers who are here present this day. By your faith, by your purity, by your love and devotion to Jesus Christ. And if you see adults around you who are not devoted to Jesus Christ, that does not give you a reason to not be devoted yourself. It only gives you a reason to weep that those are not examples who ought to be examples to you. But regardless of what you see, regardless of what you see with father or mother, or even within the congregation, God calls you as young people to follow Christ and to love Christ and be devoted to Christ and to be an example to the believers. The first command in Ephesians 6 that we looked at was to obey your parents. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is in the imperative, and it is present active. It means it is to be carried out all the time. You are to be obeying your parents all the time. Hupakuo, be underneath your parents with a hearing ear. Listen to what your parents say. How? All the time. All the time. Not only to listen, but to be ready with a willing heart to obey and to follow their instructions. The second command is honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. This is your duty. This is your duty before God. To esteem them highly, which means to think well of them. How do you think of your parents? How do you think of your parents? Do you think well of them? Do you honor them? I don't just mean honor them in your obedience, but what about your mind? Do you honor them in your mind as well? In your heart of hearts, do you honor them? Do you listen carefully to their words? Do you show great respect for the place that God has assigned them as your parents? This is not a new command. This is a very old command. It's a very old command that we can go back to the time of Moses. He crosses the Red Sea and he goes out into the wilderness and they wander about and they come to Mount Sinai. And God gives them the commands, the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments is, children, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, that you may live in the land that God has given to you. Deuteronomy chapter 27, go there for a moment. This command is elaborated on a number of times in the Pentateuch, within the law. Deuteronomy 27, in verse 14, it says, the Levites shall speak and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice. As they go through here the curses, he says, with a loud voice. In verse 16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or mother. And all the people would say, Amen, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father and his mother. This is just exactly the opposite of the command to honor. To honor is to give weight to the words of your parents. To set them lightly by is to not think of their words as being very meaningful. It is to show contempt towards your parents, even hatred at times. It is to mock them. It is to despise them. And it doesn't have to be done openly. It can be done within the heart. It can be done within the soul. To think all their words are just stupid. Why are they asking me to do that again? That's so stupid. That's setting light by your father and mother. That is not honoring your father and mother. And the curse of God is upon those who set light by their father and mother. The curse of God. God becomes our enemy. And that's not what we want. It was expected. It was an expectation that sons and daughters would honor fathers and mothers. And that expectation should still be our expectation today. As parents, it should be our expectation. And for you children, you should expect that from your own souls, that you honor your father and your mother. There was a time in this country when young people were not like the way they are now. When young people did not dare be like they are now. As I've told you before, a pastor who came from Korea back in the 1980s that I met, and I heard him preach, and he said after 1 week of his child coming to America, his child had changed his attitude toward his mother and father. The influence was so great. The peer pressure was so great in this country. Because in Korea, there was much greater respect for father and mother. But those of you who are here today who are young people, you do not have to be like other young people. You must be what God calls you to be. You must not set light by your father and mother because it brings the curse of God upon you. In Malachi chapter 1, we see the prophet there, and when he is prophesying and bringing forth the burden of the word of the Lord, we see that it was an expectation. It was considered the norm, that it ought to have been the norm for children to honor their father and mother. Malachi chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear?" But you see the analogy he uses. He says, a son honors his father. If that analogy wouldn't hold, it wouldn't be worth using. And so he says, this is the norm. The norm is that a son or a daughter will honor their father and mother. It is abnormal for a son or daughter to not honor father and mother. And it brings the curse of God. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" He says, we have had fathers who have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We honored them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? It is not possible to honor God if you do not honor your parents, because it is dishonoring to God to dishonor your parents. We cannot say that we love God and honor Him and adore Him while we are dishonoring our parents. Because this is the first duty. Again, there may be many things that God will call you to do in this life, but this is your first duty as a child, to bring yourself under with a hearing ear and to give honor to your parents. Give weight to their words. Leviticus chapter 19. The honor that's spoken of here to father and mother, it extends itself. It should go beyond father and mother as well. And it should extend itself to all those who are older than ourselves. Leviticus 19. In verse 32. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. And fear your God, for I am the Lord." You rise up before the gray head. You give honor to those who are older than yourself. That means that your pastor, even though some of you may think that I am ancient, I'm not as ancient as some. And I give honor to those who are older than myself. I respect those who are older than myself. I speak with regard and respect. And when I disagree with someone who is older than myself, I am careful about the words I choose. I try to be careful about the words I choose. That if ever, even as a pastor, I disagree with someone who is older than myself, that I use words of respect while I am disagreeing with them. Because I am to rise up before the hoary head. That goes for Mark Little as well as for every single young person here. This honor is to be shown to your parents and to all that are older than yourself, this regard. How do you see older people? How do you see older people? Do you mock them? Do you make fun of them? We are not to. Sometimes in our foolishness of our youth, we may do it. But it is a great curse. In Proverbs chapter 30, the terms that God chooses to use to describe this kind of disrespect are so graphic that it tells us something about the heart of God and something about this being dishonoring to those who are older than ourselves. That it is a great sin before God, that it is an abomination in His sight. In Proverbs 30 and verse 17, he says, "The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." You lose your sight. And you do. You do. Those who dishonor father and mother, they lose their sight. They can't see. They're blind. Because father and mother were given to them to guide them and to show them the way. And when you disregard them, you have no more sight. And you walk around blind. And blind leading the blind, you will both fall into the ditch. Oftentimes it is young people leading young people. It's very unwise. Because that's the blind leading the blind. And you'll both fall into the ditch. Do you show respect for age? You should appreciate what they know. This is something that you have to come and grasp for yourself as a young person. But while you are growing up and you are learning and you are growing and you are expanding your own horizons, your own thinking and your own ways, you have to understand the limits that you have as a person who has not lived in this world very long. And for this reason, you should respect those who are your elders because of the experience that they have in this life. Experience that you can't buy. Experience that's very precious because it's bought with time. And time is short. And yet, this time that some have, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years on this earth, they have experience that you can't possibly have. And so it should be something precious to you that you should want to have for yourself. How can you have it for yourself as a young person? You can have it for yourself by asking those who are older than yourself questions. By picking their minds, by finding out what they know, by being respectful to them and understanding that they have things to offer you and to teach you. And so that ought to be your desire. Do you appreciate what they know? When you have a ship going through dangerous waters, who do you want at the helm? Do you want the guy that just came out of sailing school? Or do you want the guy who's been sailing those seas for 20 and 30 years? Worked through Shackleton's great adventure there in the Antarctic. Shackleton almost was killed one time. And it almost made that man lose heart altogether when he thought what might have happened if Shackleton had died and the whole expedition would have been underneath someone else's leadership. He said, "We all probably would have died because Shackleton alone had the experience to get us through the mess that we were in." This is what you want. You want those who are older than yourself. You should never despise them because they're old. The proverb says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." Proverbs 23. The problem is that we are so short-sighted sometimes as young people. We are in our youth. We are in our prime. The prime of our beauty as a young person. My old foreman said, "What do you have to do to be beautiful? Just be young. Just be young." When you're in your prime and you feel so good in body and in spirit, it is easy sometimes to look upon the crippled one or the one that's bent over and hobbling about or tottering about and to not think well of them, to not have a respect for them. You lack respect because you don't see youth and vigor and strength of body. And sometimes you don't see strength of mind either. Sometimes the mind goes too. Sometimes those older persons won't even know you, can't know you. How do you regard them? You are to regard them who are crippled in body and in mind with great respect and great regard. Especially, as the scripture says, those who are found in the way of righteousness. These are the people of God. These are those who have gone before us. These who are those who have paved the way for us. Many who never made it to that age because they died in wars before us to give us liberty. Some who died in other fashions. Others who have given their life and body to build this country. We need to have a high regard for those who are older, for those who are crippled down, and understand something of what they have experienced in their life and paved the way for us and made a way for us and benefited us in many ways. The first command that was given in Ephesians 6 was a qualified command. It was, obey your parents in the Lord, in the sphereship of His Lordship. There are times when a young person cannot obey their parent. It's not very usual, especially in a godly household. I should hope it would never be. But there can be times in which a young person was told to do something that was wicked. And there are homes in which this takes place, in which they should not and do not have to obey their parents. But know this, that there is no qualification for this command. You honor your parents. You honor your father and mother at all times. Many times I have had older young people come to me who have left the house, who are believers themselves, and have left a situation where father and mother are wicked. They don't love God. They don't attend the assembly of the saints. And they feel as though they have very little in common with their parents. And the question inevitably is this, how do I honor my father and mother? If that's still a command for me. And I say, yes, it is. It is still a command for you. That means in all of your dealings with your wicked parents, you show them respect and regard. You watch your tongue and you live a Christian life before them. It doesn't mean that you have to take bad advice they give you. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they say. But you must always keep your tongue and show regard and show respect to them. They are your parents. This command to honor father and mother, there are no qualifications to it. You honor them, period. And he says that this is the first commandment with promise, which means it is an important command. It is an important command. And how you treat this command will affect your life. He says that your days may be long in the earth. There's a slight change that the Apostle Paul gives to the old commandment. The old commandment was that your days may be long in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that was under the Jewish theocratic state. But now under the new covenant, the blessings are expanded to all the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth, to every nation, to every people. And so this command goes forth to every nation and every child in every nation, which says, honor your father and mother that your days may be well in the earth. In the earth. And I can say especially so to every believing child, to every Christian child, to every child who has embraced Jesus Christ. Because the earth is yours. The earth is yours. That the days may be long in the earth. In the earth. It is a general promise. It is what we call a general promise. And this means this is the general outcome of this promise. What it means when I say it's a general promise is there are times when we will see an obedient child, a child who has embraced Jesus Christ, a child who is very respectful to their parents, and they may die at a young age. And there may be other children who are wicked and disrespectful to their parents, and they live up and they have families and they continue to be disrespectful toward God, and they may live to be 90 years old as a wicked person. So the first thing we need to understand when he says this is a commandment with a promise that your days may be long on the earth, that it's not a guarantee that every single young person who is respectful toward their parents will live a long life on this earth. But being a general promise, it does mean that it is the general rule that this takes place. One of the exceptions to the rule that I thought about was in the very first family. Who was the first family on the earth? It was Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was the first family. They had two sons. One son was a very respectful son. His name was Abel. He had been taught about the faith. He brought a right sacrifice before God. And it says that God had respect to the sacrifice of Abel. There was another son named Cain. He also had been raised in the faith. He had also been raised by godly parents who taught him the right way. But he decided to go another way and to bring his own sacrifice before God. And the curse of God fell upon Cain. And Cain became a wanderer in the earth. But he went on in his life while he killed his brother Abel, who died then at a young age. What can we say? We can say this, that both were taught the truth. One was cursed. One was blessed of God, Abel, and yet Abel lived a short life. Is that a blessing? Well, he was blessed in his faithfulness to God. Abel has eternal life. Abel has eternal life. Cain doesn't have that. And the earth is Abel's. The meek shall inherit the earth. His life will be long on the earth. Maybe not this present earth. Sometimes it's not the case. But a child who obeys God, who follows Jesus Christ, your life will be long on the earth, for you will live forever and ever and ever on a new heavens and a new earth. The greatest reward that we have for honoring fathers and mothers was found in Colossians 3. It is well pleasing to the Lord. God is pleased. That's the greatest blessing you can have in your life, to know that God is pleased with what you do. We know this, that the disobedient often die young. They often die young. The child who plays near the precipice, near the edge of the cliff, when he's been told by his parents, don't get too close to that edge. And every year a few find the edge and go over. The child who approaches a dog that he's not sure of when his father and mother has said to him, be careful and don't approach a dog that you don't know because you're not sure about that dog. Don't do it by yourself. That dog could hurt you. The child who doesn't listen to their parents. The little child who plays with electrical outlets. He's been told, don't go near those electrical outlets. And yet every year there'll be a child who will place his fingers in there, who will place an instrument in there, who will become shocked. A little child who plays around the coffee pot, who reaches up by the stove. He's been told not to do it. He pulls these things down upon himself. It's not well with him. A little child who climbs the bookcases. He's been told not to do it, but he wants to do it. And he brings down the bookcase upon himself. The child who plays in the car with the steering column. He's been told not to do that. Every year there'll be someone, yes, who foolishly keep their car running with a child in it. That child will run, put the car in gear. Some live, some don't. The child who is older, who has gotten his license for the first time, and he's been taught by father and mother how to drive and be careful. And I can confess to this one, who takes the cars at speeds that there ought not to be, and it's the grace of God that I'm alive. It's not because Mark was a wise child. But every year there are those who don't survive it. And every year, statistically speaking, there's an age group in there. And what is it? It's those young people who first start driving. More die in that age group than anyone else, percentage-wise. So your days may be long upon the land. See, those who are disobedient, there are those who don't live long, and it's out of their disobedience. The young person up north where I came from, it was the young person who played on thin ice. And their parents told them, the pond's thawed out now, we don't want to get back on it. They got back on it. They went under the water and didn't come back up. The young person who experiments with drugs or alcohols. Young people who stick their heads out of bus windows when they've been told not to do it. How many of those that I've heard of who have been decapitated suddenly? That your days may be long upon the land. Honor your parents. honor your parents. Listen to wisdom. The application to parents is your children are creatures of impulse. They are creatures of fancy and whim. They are blown by the wind. And you have to be a steady hand for them because they are not a steady hand for themselves. They need to learn to regard and respect you. You need to expect that reverence. Palmer, in his work on the family, writes, "A subdued will is an indispensable condition of child happiness. Its desires are so capricious, its moods are so changeable, as to be sources of positive torture, unless they are constantly controlled by a power that's steadier than its own. In the home, it learns that life's pleasure is to be found in the faithful performance of duty, and that self-conquest is indispensable to happiness." What he's saying, children, is that you cannot be happy until you have self-control yourself, until you have learned to, that your own will has to be subdued and brought underneath the will of another, underneath God first and underneath your parents who have been placed over you as guardians. Do we wish our children to be eternally dependent upon us? No. But we do desire to give them that steady hand as they make their way into the sea of life. Our goal is that they would master themselves. Our goal is that Christ would master them. That the Word of God would master them. That they would stop doing things because we told them to do it, and they would start doing things because they know it is the Word of God, and that they are devoted to Jesus Christ, and that they are an example to the believers in word and faith and purity and all these things. They don't have to be told anymore because they already do it because they have another master who tells them and guides them, and it is the Lord Christ. And that's the challenge I give to you, young people. Are you following Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord and your Master? Is His Word everything to you? As parents, our expectations are important. We need to expect honor from our parents, from our children. Children, you need to remember the age and experience of your parents, and you need to understand the value that God puts on age. And the same values that God has need to be your values. That's what you want. You want the values of God, and God values old age and experience when it's found in a way of righteousness. We'll say that to us as adults. The hoary head is a wonderful thing when it's found in a way of righteousness. When it's found in a way of unrighteousness, it's silliness and it's wickedness, and it is something to be despised. Children, remember the office that God has placed them over you in. And remember this, children, that when you speak to your parents, what tone of voice do you speak? It needs to be this tone of respect and honor when you speak to your parents. Courtesy. Courtesy that's due to their place. Solomon was on his throne one day. His mother came to him. He bowed to his mother. He was the king of Israel. But he bowed to his mother. He showed respect. He showed honor to the office of his mother. So much more should you have a tone of respect in anything you say. Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Gratitude shown. Are you thankful to God for your parents? You say, "Well, I have some difficulties with my parents." Yeah, I know. All children have difficulties with their parents. I have difficulties too with people. You know what I have to do? I have to thank God for those people. I have to thank God for God putting those people in my life. I have to come to that point. But I recognize that this is the providence of God. Whether I have a personality clash with them or not, this is the providence of God that He has put me here with those people for a purpose. And God has placed you in the home for a purpose with your parents. Your personalities may clash. Thank God for it. You have to come to the point where you can get on your knees before God and say, "Thank you, God, for my parents. Thank you for this that troubles me about them and this that troubles me about them, because I know you are using these things to build character in me, regardless of what they are." Do not take what you have for granted. Be most thankful for any spiritual benefits you have from your parents. If they ever read the Word of God to you, if they ever pray with you, if they ever bring you to the Word of God, you should be thankful for those things, for the spiritual benefits that God brings you through your parents. You need to value the gift that God has given to you. Children are a gift to parents, and they need to recognize that. Parents need to recognize that, and children need to recognize that parents are their gift to them. Also, I think, young people, you need to learn to look to older people for advice and wisdom. You need to think about that, consider that. You need to listen. Listen much. Be obedient. Be helpful. Your parents need help. Your parents need cheerful help. They don't need a begrudging help. That's not help. They need a cheerful help and a cheerful heart, doing the things that you are asked to do. Eli's sons showed great dishonor by their disobedience. They were not a help to Eli. They were a heartache to Eli. You need to help your parents. How can you help your parents? Obey them. Honor them. Follow Christ. Our God, who has given us our parents, has the authority to require of us this honor. If we do not show honor to them, we will not show a proper honor to anyone. If we cannot show honor to the one who is closest given to us by God, our honor will never be right. It will always be flawed in the way that we show it to others. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Again, I would emphasize this. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in pardon and forgiveness of sins? This is the first thing you must have. You must have Christ. Your relationship to God must be certain in your own heart and mind. You are to go to Him and to get things right with Him. The first person you need to deal with concerning your sin and rebellion is Jesus Christ. It is Him that you sin against whenever you sin. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to pardon. He is ready to bring you into His eternal kingdom. Go to Him and ask Him to save you. Ask Him to deliver you from your sin. He is able. He will do it.